This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli wa nusallimu ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Walillahi ala an-nasi hijjul bayti man istata'a ilayhi sabila. Sadaqallahu al-azim. Respected listeners, elders, brothers, mothers and sisters, we begin by praising Almighty Allah, sending salutations upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I was scheduled to be with you and give a talk, but due to circumstances, I am not able to do so. So I am doing this recording and hope inshallah it will prove beneficial. In this small recording of mine, firstly, I will speak on the importance and motivation for Hajj. Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given special emphasis to the ibadat of Hajj. And one of the things is that this is the only pillar of the five pillars in which there is a dedicated surah named after this pillar. So you don't have Surah Al-Salah, Surah Al-Zakah, but you have Surah Al-Hajj in the 17 juz of the Holy Quran. And Allah Ta'ala, when He has decreed and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala announces the farziyat of Hajj, look at the emphasis. Walillahi, says Allah in the Quran, in the first page of the fourth juz, to Allah, to human being owe it, that they must visit the house of Almighty Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, whoever has the means. And look at how Allah Ta'ala puts it. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ, and he who is ungrateful, he whom after Allah Ta'ala has given him the means, he does not perform Hajj, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ, then Allah Ta'ala is independent. Allah is not in need of his creation. You are in need of Allah Ta'ala. This is how Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala puts forward the farziyat and the importance of Hajj. Now there are many benefits with regard to Hajj. One is that there are various relationships that we have with Allah Ta'ala. And one of the relationships that we have is that Allah Ta'ala possesses all the attributes of beauty and perfection. And human being by nature possesses the ability to love, admire, and adore beauty and virtue. So in this way, Allah Ta'ala is the object of our love. And you and I, we are the one who are searching for the love of Allah. Unfortunately, today we only look at love in one sense, the sense between male and female. But Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَّدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ, the believers are intense in their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intensely. So this is one of our relationship with Allah, that our relationship should be one of love. Today we don't pay sufficient attention to this type of relationship. And we don't emphasize that our ibadat, our relationship, our dhikr, our remembering Allah is based on love for Almighty Allah. But there is no greater manifestation of it than in Hajj. Hajj shows a love so great that everything is being sacrificed in the interest of gaining His love. The Haji is seen from the very outset, leaving his home and leaving his family members, sometimes leaving his children, his family, his children, his near and dear ones. And he leaves them and he casts them aside for a while to be able to fulfill this obligation. His love is such, without complaint or doubt, he braves the journey to reach his destination. Subhanallah. The Arabic poet had said, you know, when I come to the house of my beloved, أُقَبِّلُ وَذَا الْجِدَارِ, I kiss this wall and I kiss that wall, not because of love for the building, but because what that building represents. When our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu performed tawaf, he was seen placing his lips on the black stone for a considerable time, until tears flowed from his eyes. He then saw Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu standing near him. Also, when he saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tearing, he also started tearing. In seeing this, Nabi Karim Sawsam said, this is indeed a place where tears are to be shed. And this continues. All the aspects with regard to Hajj is about love. One morning the lover is in one place, the afternoon is in another place. He goes to Mina, goes to Arafat, comes back from Arafat to Muzdalifah, Muzdalifah to Mina, Mina back to Makkah, Makkah back to Mina. All of that, it is part of love. And he continues until the time of the stoning of the Jamarat, which signifies casting aside everything that can possibly come between a person and the love of Almighty Allah, the Beloved in the true sense. So my appeal is that when we do our ibadat in Hajj and all of that, let it be saturated with the love of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let the love of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala flow in the execution and the performance of our ibadat in Hajj. There's another important aspect with regard for Hajj. One is that Hajj is opposed to the mechanical routine of life which people of materialism are accustomed to. So we are accustomed to having everything done according to routine. You know, you go out of your house, you must have your credit card, you must have this. So we have all of that where we are, accustomed to things about materialism. However, in Hajj, we do things beyond intellect, solely in the spirit of submission. One can understand, and there are some wisdoms that are clearly understood in Salat and Zakat. But in Hajj, there are many things that we do solely out of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we do it because Nabi Karim Sawsam said, perform the rites of Hajj the way you saw me performing the rites of Hajj. We go between Safa and Marwa. And we all know that we do it because Hazrat Hajar ran between Safa and Marwa in search of water, because Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam left her to establish the house of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this desert. So Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam needed water, and she was running between Safa and Marwa in search of water. Now today when we do it, we're not in search of water. There is water between. There is water bottles every 100 meters while we're doing Safa and Marwa. But we do it because of submission to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have been told that do Hajj in this particular way. For example, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam pelted Shaitan because Shaitan tried to intervene and come between him and complying with the commands of Allah Ta'ala. Shaitan could not see such a great act of submission. Someone willing to sacrifice his son for the sake of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Shaitan came and Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam pelted him. We don't see Shaitan, but we pelt out of submission. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, the greatest Muslim scholar, had said that when a person has to pelt and the thought comes into his mind that I'm following and emulating Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, but he saw Shaitan, I can't see Shaitan, then he must pelt with greater vigor, greater enthusiasm, because that would be, nothing would be more demeaning to Iblis than a person doing something solely out of obedience and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what we do. So two motivations with regard to Hajj. One, Hajj as an exposition and a manifestation of the love of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second, Hajj as a great example of submission to the commands of Allah ta'ala. And one example with regard to submission, we also see when we are going from Arafat to Muzdalifah. So here what we see is, you know, throughout the year, we are trying to read Salat on time. Inna Salata kanat al-mu'minina kitabu mawquta. Salat on his appointed time is decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But on that day, which is perhaps one of the most blessed days in the calendar for a Muslim, that day we don't read Salat on time. Subhanallah, we read Maghrib. Nabi Karim s.a.w. told the Sahaba when they said, Ya Rasulullah, what about Maghrib Salat? Nabi s.a.w. said, Maghrib is in front. Maghrib is in front. That day you don't read Namaz on time. you read Maghrib at the time of Isha. Why we do so? Submission to Allah Ta'ala. So two great lessons with regard to Hajj. One is Hajj as a manifestation of love for Almighty Allah. And Hajj is an example of submission to Allah and His commands. Now, I have been for Hajj in the last 2 years with a group. And I just wanted to just share one or two experiences. One experience that I would like to share is that we must always keep in mind the purpose of our journey. Be prepared mentally for crowds. Do not complain. Most people, when they see the haram and they see the crowd, sometimes a person can become overwhelmed. But if you are prepared with regard to it, it makes it slightly easier. And many people will tell you the crowd adds to the environment. It adds to the beauty of the atmosphere, you know, with regard to Hajj. So learn to adjust with regard to it. And when people come to Makkah, normally you will find that initially when you come to Makkah, there is still the possibility of going to the Haram. Even if you feel that it is somewhere or the other, it is still crowded, but it is less than the crowd that will come later on. So make the opportunity and make the best of the opportunity that you have when the crowds will be quite a bit, but comparatively and relatively, it will still be less. So set into a routine as soon as possible. For example, I noticed when I was there for the last 2 years that if you go half an hour before Salat, before Azan, you get a place in the first floor or the ground floor. So you will get a place if you adjust yourself. So adjust yourself because that is the purpose why you're there for. You're not there for anything else. So adjust yourself according to your purpose and objective of your journey, which is to make ibadat and come closer towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think it's very important that we keep this in mind. I've noticed that Fajr, Zuhar, Asr, if you go half an hour before Asr, you know, half an hour before Azan, you can get place in the first floor, etc. Or if you don't get, then you can still go to the extension where there is still, you know, good facilities, the musallas are there, and you can still, it is still part of the haram. So I think let us adjust ourselves, make the best to spend as much as time in the haram. Now, of course, we know either in the first or the fourth, majority of our hujjaj will be going to Azizia. Now, we all know that Azizia has become part and parcel of the Hajj journey. It's important for us to remember the objective even when we are in Azizia. You know, many a times you find that people come to Azizia, and nowadays, you know, in Makkah there is many attractions. There is malls, there is shopping centers, there is beautiful restaurants. So people tend to, for example, when they go to Azizia, they tend to start spending their time in going to malls, sometimes going to restaurants. Now, there's nothing wrong. Sometimes, occasionally, we as South Africans, we are used to, you know, eating good food. We are, you know, used to having good food. So sometimes you want to go, all right, we can do it, but don't overdo it. Don't then make that the purpose. Try as much as possible to come to the haram whenever you can get an opportunity. Structure your day in such a way that you can come to the haram. So what you can do is you can come in the early hours of the morning, spend Fajr, make Fajr in the haram, and then wait a little while. Now that time, 1 hour after sunrise, normally you will find it is perhaps one of the quietest time because everyone has gone to go and rest, because that is now how the tartib and that is how the schedule of people in the hujjaj are. That many of them, they will spend the whole night being awake, and then after Fajr, they will go to sleep. So you can spend and make your routine accordingly, or you can make your routine coming just before Asr or after Asr and staying for Maghrib and Isha. Although it still will be crowded, but you can find place and be nearest as possible to the Haramain and to the Kaaba and the Baytullah. So this is something that we should keep in mind. And even if you are in Azizia and you find it difficult to come, there will be some difficulty, but at least spend some time in the haram, come one or two times. Maybe perhaps what you can do is the last day or so before the 5 days, maybe that day you spend in Azizia resting, preparing yourself for the 5 days. But remember, even in Azizia, there's some beautiful masajid. Read your Salat wa Jamaat. Go to the beautiful masajid that are there. Go to the nearest masjid. So these are some of the things that we have to keep in mind with regard to Azizia. Then we come to the 5 days. Now 5 days, there will be ulama who will tell us with regard to the masail, how we are supposed to spend the 5 days. I will just give two very important considerations. One is that the first day when you are in Mina, relatively it is much quiet. So the people will find place. And although it will be you will find it sometimes, there will be quite a few people. You know, it will be crowded. But there is still, you know, the first day is relatively quiet. It's not so, pressing. There isn't anything to do on that day specifically amongst the manasik of Hajj. Then when you go to Arafat, which is the epitome and the most important day of Hajj, and spend your time correctly. From the time of Zawal, spend it in zikr, dua. So whatever you feel like, sometimes you alternate. So you maintain your enthusiasm. So sometimes your enthusiasm would be to make zikr, then you do zikr. Sometimes your enthusiasm would be to make dua, then you make dua. Sometimes you have to read Hizbul Azam, read the Hizbul Azam, but read it with the meanings so that you understand the duas that you are reading. Excuse me for that. And then when you come back to Mina, again, the pelting. Now, you know, previously there used to be a great amount of pressure with regard to people. There used to be a lot of tension about the pelting. Nowadays, the pelting has become extremely easy compared to what people used to encounter. People used to encounter a great amount of difficulty, and people used to be very tense with regard to the pelting. Nowadays, pelting, because of the three stories, have become very, very easy and much more easier than what it was before. It will still get crowds, but it is not as what it used to be. So what we do is, when we come back from Arafat, which now, of course, again, year after Arafat, which is the highlight, it's so easy, like it's like coming, you know, it reminds me of Ramadan, when the 27th night finishes, then although there's still 3 days left for Ramadan, you know, there is like a waning. It's important that we don't become, we don't regard that and become so, you know, ease or take it so comfortable that we forget to realize that we're still in Hajj. And there are still very important ibadat to carry on. There is still the Hajj, the Tawaf Ziyarat, which is compulsory. And there is still the pelting for the next 3 days. So it's important that we still maintain the enthusiasm, even if the highlight was Arafat. And one can never describe Arafat. No matter how much you try to describe it, you will never. You will only be able to realize it when you experience it. It is something that is out of this world. It's amazing, the atmosphere, the environment with regard to Arafat. Arafat is Arafat, Al-Hajju Arafat. And make the best of it. Make a lot of dua for the ummah, for your children, and for everyone, for the conditions in the country, etc. So make the best with regard to Arafat. When you come back after the first day, you do the pelting. The 10th is, of course, a very, very hectic day. You come back from Muzdalifah. After Muzdalifah, you come and do the pelting. And then, you know, you do the Dam Tamattu, the Dam of Shukr. And then you shave off your hair. And then you have to do Tawaf Ziyarat. Now, Tawaf Ziyarat, many times people, because it's an obligation, you are out of Ihram, now you want to do it as soon as possible so that, you know, it is something that you have to do. You go and do it as soon as possible. But sometimes there is also merit. I'm not saying that, you know, sometimes people don't do it as soon as possible. Alhamdulillah, they can do it. But sometimes there's also a merit. I found the last two times I went for Tawaf Ziyarat the next morning, early hours of the morning, and I found it to be relatively comfortable. Now, in Hajj, the Tawaf Wida is also compulsory. So one thing that you can do, depending on your circumstances, if you're not sure, or if you are leaving very quick after Hajj, then any Tawaf after Tawaf Ziyarat is sufficient to be counted as Tawaf Wida. So maybe after tawaf is ziyarat, if you are there and you have the ability, then do one more tawaf. So that can count as a tawaf wida, although it is better that you do a specific tawaf with the intention of tawaf wida. But any tawaf that is done after tawaf ziyarah, any nafil tawaf that is done after tawaf ziyarah is sufficient to be tawaf wida. So these are important things. Also be very careful that while you must be helpful to the haji and help the hujjaj as much as possible, be careful of becoming so informal that you lose the respect and you lose the respect and sacredness of the place. So these are some of the things that I would just like to present in front of everyone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it beneficial. May Allah ta'ala accept the Hajj of the Hujjaj. May Allah ta'ala make it easy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant acceptance. And may Allah ta'ala make your trip a valuable one, a most beneficial one, that will become the means of the changing of one's life. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.